Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Has to be trained.
You would have to train it.
That's what I mean. It's like this whole crash course that we're in is a training process for the spirit. But yeah.
The only way for this flesh to do good is the spirit man. God said, I placed in the heart, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. The spirit man must take control. And that essence of God that was placed in you will do the good. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab and in the streets thereof. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. You know, he's taking a lot. He's taking an entire chapter here to pronounce judgment on Moab, which he's done, like I said, in many other books. But he also mentioned that his heart would be sorrowful for it, because these are his children too. The Jews, not only Jacob's line. God didn't include everyone. The Jews were his special people to bring forth Messiah, the Savior of the world. Otherwise, John would have said, God so loved the Jews that he gave his only begotten son.
For the Jews.
Yes, for the Jews. For the Jews alone. The rest of you are done.
Yeah. You guys.
The rest of you are cannon fodder. He didn't. He said, God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. That is the all people. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be derision and a dismaying to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle. He shall spread his wings over Moab. Kiroth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab all that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear in the pit, and the snare shall be upon him, O inhabitants of Moab, saith the Lord. Like we said, Moab was a very secure little nation of people. They never really got involved too much. They refused to assist Israel. It's kind of making me think of what's coming up here in the next couple of chapters. Prophecies of America. Kind of in the same way. You were fat. You were happy. Sitting on your mountain on the other side of the world. And judgment will come upon you in 1 hour. Fear in the pit, and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitants of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force, but a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab, the people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captivity, and thy daughters captives. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Doesn't end here. All the males in the line will be extinguished. But there are others, like the Amalekites, came from Moab. It's not over yet, God says. We're going to extinguish it eventually in the far judgment. Chapter 49, Book of Jeremiah. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Concerning the Ammonites. It's just continuing. What's going to happen to all these nations? Thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Reba of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap. And her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were her heirs, saith the Lord. Interesting enough, when the children of Israel were brought into Canaan, he specifically named the Ammonites, remove them from the land, kill them all. And they didn't, amongst all the other ites that they didn't kill. Mm-hmm. He told them, get rid of all these ites, Ammonites, Amalekites, all of them. They said, we want to have some servants. Yeah.
And so looked at the Ammonites, they worshipped Milcom and Molech.
Molech,
yeah. Which were both human sacrifice.
Yep. Pass your children through the fire. Yep. Interesting enough here, they didn't remove them from the lands. And what he's just said here in verse 2, now that you're carried away, they've inherited your lands. But when I bring you back, you will be heir to the lands that they're going to inherit now. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabah. Gird you with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro in the hedges, for their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. Wherefore, glorious thou in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasure, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee, and ye shall be driven out, every man right forth, none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterwards I will bring again captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. As we've seen, as Israel would go into battle for hundreds of years with these surrounding nations, these nations were very aware of the God of the Israelites, very aware of the power of the God of the Israelites. At any time, at certain times, it's like they knew more about the law and God's word than the Israelites did. Mm-hmm. At any time, they could have accepted him and become part of the family, but they didn't do it. Concerning Edom again, God has got it out for Edom. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. And this goes back to earlier portion of Jeremiah, when God tells Jeremiah, pour some wine into a cup and give it to these nations to drink, the wine, the wrath of his fury. And he's basically saying there, you've drunk of the wine, obviously. And this, if you look at, when you read this 9 through 13, you need to go to Obadiah and also read. He shall altogether go unpunished. Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord. And who else can God swear by but himself? That Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together, and come against her. Rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle. I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. And that's just talking about how Esau's people were mountain people. You know anything about warfare? The hardest people to root out. Ones down in the valley are quite easy. You just swarm down on them. But how in the world do you climb a mountain and search out every cleft and rock and hole? But God said it will be done. Also, Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities. That's and you don't see that often. Sodom and Gomorrah is referenced in this Bible over and over and over again. But this, there were seven cities there. But you don't see that very often. There's a couple of citations here. Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord. No man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her, and who is a chosen man, that I may appoint over her. For who is like me, and who is appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Question mark. Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he that maketh their habitation desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry of the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah, and at the day shall the heart of the mighty men of Eden be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arphad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee. Fear hath seized on her, anguish and sorrows have taken her as the woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in the streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in the day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a firewall of Damascus, and it shall consume the places of Ben-Hadad. Concerning Kedar, it's going right on down the list. And concerning the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite. Thus saith the Lord, arise ye, go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains and all their vessels and their camels. They shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. Flee, get off. Get ye far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you, and hath conceived a purpose against you. Because he is my servant, and he is doing my bidding. And you got to look at the life. Read Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was always a servant of God in such a minor way in the beginning. But after Daniel was through with him, he was an all-out servant of God. Especially after God sent him out to graze in the pasture for, 7 years, Jonathan?
Yep.
Put some took the pride away from him. Can you imagine, Christian? Pride is one of the greatest things that we warfare against. Pride will destroy your relationship with God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar got so much pride in him that God will go to lengths to purge you of pride. I mean, this is the king of Babylon. Lives in a luxurious palace. All the wives he could ever have, the finest wine, the finest drink. Just the all of society is beating down his door just to be in his audience. Well, after warning after warning after warning about his pride, one day God has a little, flips a little switch off in his brain. It's like the, what switch would you call it?
I don't know.
It was common probably, sense switch?
Or play a red button.
It was a red button. So he strips himself naked, walks out of the palace, just wanders around in the pasture for 7 years naked, eating grass like an ox, acting like a crazy man. I guess it's the sanity switch. Flip the sanity switch off. Yeah. But if you read it, he's in the back of his mind seeing all of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
While his body is just wandering around naked. And you see all the society of Babylon take their chariots out and drive past the pasture. Is that really King Nebuchadnezzar out there? Has anybody tried to bring him out of the field? No, he's crazy. He's a bed bug. We don't go near him.
A horse blanket on him in the wintertime or anything?
No, he's just running around naked. Beards all the way down to his knees. But you know what? But God said in his dream, God showed him, he says, I'll preserve your kingdom. And when your pride is gone, it took 7 years of running around naked, grazing as an ox, wild man, to get rid of his pride. I hope, Christian, it doesn't take that much effort from God to get rid of yours, because God did. He preserved his kingdom. He placed him back on the throne. Now, how in the world does that happen? This man loses his mind, runs around for 7 years naked, and as soon as he snaps out of it, he walks right back up on the throne. Because in most kingdoms, that throne would have been taken by somebody else, but God is in charge of everything that happens in this world. Good, bad, or indifferent. Every throne that was ever set up, God placed the man on it. Whether he was a good man, a bad man, or an indifferent man, God had his reasons. And it all plays out in the great choreographed, beautiful book he has here in front of us. Verse 31, arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation, and dwell without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. And their camels shall be a booty, and their multitude of their cattle a spoil. And I will scatter into all winds them that are in the utmost corners, and will bring their calamity from all sides thereof, saith the Lord. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons, and a desolation forever. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, we're doing a little backtracking here. We've gone back a few years. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation, whether the outcast of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Elam is southern Iran, offspring of Shem, whose son was Elam, who settled there. So they're cousins also. We're all related. God never excluded anyone. Even in his wrath, he displaces and he pulls again. And he says here several times, in the latter days, I will bring them back together, just like he did the latter days of Israel after he had scattered them in 70 AD. In the latter days, I will bring them all back into the land. That happened in 1947, 1948, when the nation of Israel was reestablished in one day. Unheard of. Supernatural. It's all coming. And I tell you what, I've been seeing a lot of things online about, it's been several prominent American politicians saying, the Bible says, if you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. And I see hundreds of people on there saying, that's not in the Bible. It is absolutely in the Bible. It's in the Bible in so many places. Old Testament by far. But Paul even talks about how the heathen is in the debt of the Jew. And the debt must be repaid. It's in here. And that's why America had been blessed so abundantly for so long, because we love the Jewish people. This anti-Semitism is not a natural thing. It's a curse that God put on them because of what they did to Messiah. He said, I'm going to scatter you to the four winds. You will be a thorn in the side of everyone you live next to. That means just your presence is going to make them uncomfortable. You have to fight against it, Christian. If you have any anti-Semitism inside you at all, you cannot. These are God's beloved line.
Jesus is the King
of
the Jews.
King of the Jews, that's right. How can you hate Jews and say you love Christ?
Jesus is Jewish.
Yes, he is Jewish. Right. Oh, are you sure about that?
Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's and I understand it because I've read the book. I understand it is a supernatural phenomenon. It's not something that you just naturally do because they're Jewish. It is the forces of evil and darkness because God said it and it must come to pass. But as a Christian, you cannot allow that into your life. You must love the Jews. I mean, your Savior, like Jonathan said, is Jewish. Yeah, but he's special. They're all special, God said. You love the Jews. Those who love the Jews will be blessed. Those who curse the Jews will be cursed. Don't be in that latter half. We got interesting stuff coming up tomorrow. Chapter 50's got America in it. We'll catch you then on WBFF 97.7 with Jonathan and David on Between the Lines. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.